Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on claudiorelsano.com, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center and Aspire Pediatric Therapy. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and my fantastic producer, Adam Zaluth. When I started this show, I had a few people that were on my wish list, and one of them is on the show today, and I cannot tell you how excited and thrilled and honored I am to have this man on my show. He led the Los Angeles Rams to Super Bowl 14 against the Steelers, and yeah, I was rooting for the Rams. He played 10 years of professional baseball. He is the owner of Ferragamo Real Estate in Anaheim Hills, California, and he's the CEO of Vince Ferragamo Vineyards in Orange County, California. One of my favorite athletes and one of my favorite people, even though I've never met him. He's had huge impact in my life on the field and off, and that's Vince Ferragamo. Vince, thank you so much for being on the show today.
And Claudio, it's a pleasure to be on your show and reporting live here from Southern California, so where the weather is actually getting a little bit nicer now, finally. So we've had a lot of rain this spring, so it's really shaping up the form.
There you go. Well, we've had some rain here in Pittsburgh. And but it's about 58 today, something like that. Not too bad. But we're getting there. But Vince, first thing I want to ask you is at the end of my shows, I always talk about my parents. Just about 98% of the interviews I do, or all the interviews I do, I always mention my parents. So talk about your mom and dad a little bit, where they were from, what they did, and their support for you growing up, wanting to be whatever it is you wanted to be.
You know, it's funny that you should ask, Claudio, because we were just talking about my mom's cooking this weekend, and she was just a beautiful cook. I mean, you can't imagine your mom's cooking, home-cooked meals, the lasagna, the ravioli. I always try to get that recipe. I couldn't mimic it like she used to, and she made the best cookies at the holiday time and Christmas, and these nut rolls she used to make, and all the biscotti. I mean, it's amazing the amount of food she could put forth with just a modest income. You know, my dad was, of course, Ferragamo. He came from Revere in Boston, and our whole families originally came from the Naples area in Italy. So we're Southern Italian, Napoli Don, in another town called Benito Avellino, which is the Provincia di Avellino, which is just a little bit east up in the hills from Naples. So my mom's maiden name was Pazziali, and if you ever go back to Boston, you'll go back to the Pazziali Bakery, and you'll walk inside, and you'll see beautiful pastries and breads. They serve a lot of the local restaurants, and they deliver all the breads to their local Italian restaurants there, and the Ferragamo was from Revere Beach. My dad met my mom, and we have two big families. My dad was from a family of 16. And I recall a story once my dad left the house with his good bunny. They left the house when he was like 9 years old, and he was gone for about a week. And he finally came back, and he goes, "Ma, did you miss me?" And he goes, "Where you been?" In the house. It's like, but we come from big families, big Italian families. We love to eat and listen to music and to sing and have fun. And so, but both, both families are fairly close in Italy, and I'm 100%. So between the Ayacuzzo family with my grandmother, and my grandmother's on my dad's side, her last name was Botticelli, so the famous painter. And my sister kind of takes after that in regard to being artistic, and so she's very talented. She does that. And my mom used to love music as well, so we always had music in our family, and I had to play the guitar. My mom would sing and play the piano. So it's just like every Italian household, you know. Sure. You're going to have fun, but it's all about the family.
That's for sure. You know, my mom, I tell about my mom all the time. She was a great cook. I have no recipe. One recipe, it was ugu zupa, which was the Easter. Mm-hmm. egg with the the white bread with the white icing and all that. And that's the only recipe I have of hers. Everything else, she just threw it together and it tasted great. I tried to I'm a half decent cook. I try to make what she made, and it never tastes the way she did. And but my my parents very similar to what you said. And as I told you prior to the show, my parents went on their honeymoon in Naples. And I definitely know what you're talking about. But when you were growing up, first of all, let's say 15, 16 years old, what were your goals and dreams? And what were your parents' thoughts on those? I'm sure they were supportive of them.
Yeah, my older brothers, I was from a family of four. There was three brothers, three boys and one girl. And I was the youngest of the group. And so my older brothers played football and they played sports growing up. Football was the key sport. They weren't as tall as I was, and they played more of the offensive line and linebacker. But I used to go and follow them with my dad, and we used to go watch my brother play in college, and my middle brother, my brother Mike, and my oldest brother Chris, of course, who was named after the grandparents. I was named after my dad, but Mike and Chris were named after both their grandfathers. But they played, they were very good football players. My brother Mike was probably the best athlete of everyone. He was about 5'10", about 180 pounds, 190 pounds. And he was as tough as nails. So he could play. But that's where I got the interest of playing football. I never really had any aspirations to go on at an early age to play professionally or to do anything like that. I was just kind of a game by game, day by day kind of thing outlook. And so I played, and then I eventually played Little League, and that's what got me really started. I played baseball. My dad loved baseball. He wanted me, I was a pitcher and third base. And so when I was a little kid, I went out for the trials, and I went right into the majors as a real young kid. But, but then baseball was overtaken by football because I loved football, and we played them both as a kid growing up. When I went to high school, my older brother, Chris, was a very successful coach. And he was well respected, and he ran a really tight ship operation at Banning High School. And I had no choice but to go to Banning. My dad was made sure of that. And so I went there, and as a sophomore, I got on the team, and I had to prepare. And then I was still playing baseball at the time. And I remember one off season when he was the head coach, and I went to, work out with the weights at night. And then I went back to baseball practice, and the baseball coach told me, don't lift any more weights, in high school, you're baseball now. So I missed a few workout sessions, and my brother was livid. He was the head coach of the football team. And if I was going to play football, I'm going to be in that gym and never miss a day. I can't ever remember him missing a day in 30 years when he coached on the practice field. He was always a hard driver. He taught us the hard way to the work ethic was the most important thing to do. And, if you didn't, perform, if you didn't play right, you're out. And so I learned at an early age, that's what you had to do. And so I went to college. It was almost like a piece of cake. it wasn't as tough. And so, but being the younger brother of a head coach, there was at the beginning, there was a little bit of some arguments as to whether I should be playing or not. But the other coaches insisted that they had told my brother that, he's got to play because he's the best we have. So, and that's how you have to earn, you earn your spot. And I learned to do that early, and helped me through college, helped me through the pros, helped me to be a player through good times and bad times. So you kind of keep an even keel and learn to, respect your other players on your team, and whether things go good or whether they go bad, you got to keep working hard and continue to improve. So that was the story all my career.
Now you went to Cal and then you went to Nebraska. Tell us about your college years.
Yeah, I went to Cal coming out of high school. I was recruited pretty heavily. Of course, SC, UCLA were big, the universities that were close to home in Southern California where I grew up. I wanted to go to UCLA, but they were running the wishbone at the time. Stanford was high on the scale. John Ralston was the coach there. Mike White was there along with the entire coaching staff. They had a coaching changeover. Mike White went to Cal, and Jack Christensen stayed on at Stanford. And I was kind of lured to go to Cal. I almost went to Nebraska out of high school, but I ended up going to Cal. I was going to go to Stanford, and then it was a big ordeal. I signed to Cal and went there for 2 years. They were put on probation. Mike White played with some great athletes, Chuck Muncy, Steve Rivera, you know, some great players that went on to play, you know, in the National Football League. But at 2 years and being on probation, I never got a chance to go to play in the Rose Bowl. And that, as a kid growing up in Southern California, that's your dream. And that was kind of a dream of mine. Didn't know if I'd ever go that far, but I was lucky enough to get a scholarship and went to Cal after 2 years and was able to transfer, which was another difficult step in my career. But going to Nebraska, where I would have to sit out a year in redshirt so that I could play the last 2 years. And then when I got my opportunity to play in Nebraska, of course, you know, when the chips are down, you gotta put them all in, you know, and just go for it. And I was lucky and able to perform at a level that the other players on the team responded, just much like it was in the NFL. And I was able to play, and things turned out in a good way. And so that's where I met. The best thing at Nebraska is that's where I met my wife, my future wife.
And right.
She's Italian, just like I was, half Italian, half Irish. So it's quite a combination. But she's not Navidad. She's Sicilian. So
Siciliano.
She's tough. She's tough. And so my three daughters are the same way. They kind of take after her. They're very tough.
All right. Well, you know what? Before we go on to my story, my Vince Ferragamo story, we're going to take a quick commercial break here from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, another Italian guy, Vince, in Trafford, Pennsylvania. He's delivering and pickup and criminal defense attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh, Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. We'll be right back with Vince Ferragamo.
The doctor is in. Hi, this is Dr. Roscoe. At the Roscoe Allergy Center and the Roscoe Hearing Care Center, it is important to let you know that we are going above and beyond to ensure your safety. Our staff and I are practicing all necessary guidelines to ensure safe treatment and comfort. There is no need to suffer and wait. Let us help you now to improve you or your loved one's quality of life. The Roscoe Allergy Center and the Roscoe Hearing Care Center in Dubois. Call us today, 814-375-0455. Or visit us at roscoehearing.com.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Dom Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, Vince, now your senior year at Nebraska, I don't know what bowl game it was. I believe it had to be 76, I guess. I don't even know who you were playing, but I remember watching the game, and obviously you were the quarterback and you had a big game, and right, that's when it hit me that, hey, that's my guy. You know, obviously you were an Italian guy and you did well. I said, that's my guy. So I told you before, Chuck Knox, who was born and raised in the town that I live in, right, Swickley, Pennsylvania, was like an uncle to me. He used to come over our house every summer, and we lived and died with whatever team he coached, especially the Rams of the 70s, which I, forgive me, Steeler fans, I thought the Rams teams were a little bit better. They just didn't finish it, but that's another story. But anyway, I remember telling Chuck, I said, you got to draft this Italian quarterback out of Nebraska. I don't remember what he said. I remember he smiled and laughed, but I don't remember what he said. I just remember and we never talked football when he was here, but I remember I kept telling him, you got to draft Vince Ferragamo. You got to draft. And look what happened. He drafts Vince Ferragamo. I'm not saying it's because of me, but it sure as hell didn't hurt Vince.
Well, I'll tell you, Claudio, that's funny you should say that, because my dad, when he'd always watch an Italian player step up to the bat or manage Billy Martin, he'd go, that's the best manager in baseball. And then he'd see Tony Coligliaro get up to the base and watch this guy hit, you know, and the guy, you know, he'd strike out or something. He's the best hitter there is. And so it's, yeah, you're almost at a point where you want to root for, you know, your the guy that you really want to see play well. And so as it turned out, I think of all the games, and, you know, the guys look at sports and trying to pick the players that move up. We just had the draft in the NFL. So everybody's thinking, well, you know, who's going to perform? Who's going to be the guy? Who's the number one draft pick? Does he deserve to be a number one draft pick? And of all the games that you play in college, I just seem to think that the games that stood out the most to me, and where I actually excelled at, and I don't know if it was heaven sent or whatever, or some guidance along the way, but it was always the big game. And I always kind of stepped up in the big games. And I think maybe that's what people recognize. I remember at Cal, when I was a freshman, we played Stanford. We had only won two games all year. And two of those games were because, you know, I got in the lineup there at the end, and we won Oregon, and we beat Oregon. And then the last game against Stanford, the last pass of the game with no time on the clock, I hit Steve Sweeney in the end zone, and we beat Stanford on the last play of the game. You know, we played in the bowl games. I went to Nebraska and got a chance to play in big games. My senior year, we played in the Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl against Texas Tech. And they were a very, very good team. Probably one of the best bowl games of the year in that year, in 1976. And so it was actually New Year's Eve. We played that game at the Old Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl game. And the Texas Tech defense was on our running game like you wouldn't believe. We couldn't move the ball hardly at all. The only way we can move the ball is throwing the ball. And so my last game, you know, I just figured, shoot, I'm just going to have to throw. And it's a good thing we did. But, you know, the defensive coordinator on the Texas Tech team was a guy by the name of Bill Parcells. Wow. And so it's like, no wonder why they were so good. Right. Oh, God, these guys are awesome. So we were able to beat them on long passes. And, you know, the chancellor of the university, I hear Tom Osborne used to talk about it, who was our head coach at Nebraska, would say, Tom, if you didn't win that game today, I was going to fire you the next day. And he kind of thanks me in a way that, you know, is this kind of how we have mutual respect for one another. Tom was a genius when it comes to offense and game planning, especially in the Big Eight, where we would throw and run the football. And, but, you know, it was funny how we were able to pull off that win with, you know, defeating them with the pass play and not the run, which we were so, you know, so good at. But it's so funny that, the big games were the key things. And I think that's what, when I came to the Rams, maybe Chuck Knox maybe found a glimmer of hope in some way. He was a great coach. I love Chuck. He was a game of hard knocks. You know, he always drove a hard bargain, and he says, that's what I'm talking about. That was his main key all the time. That's what I'm talking about. And we performed, we'd always win. And finally, you know, he left the team after a couple of years, and Ray Malvasi took over, another good Italian coach. And Ray actually put us over the hump. We actually were able to get to the Super Bowl that year in my third year with the Rams. But I certainly look back at my career thinking of all the great coaches that I had. You couldn't get where I got without the help of great coaching. And that's what it was all about.
Sure. Now, I only wish the guy with the plane who said, fire the ammo, start Ferragamo, would have come over in 77. That's when I wanted you to start. But anyway, now, obviously, you made the Super Bowl in, 80. But, and we can see the game on YouTube anytime we want. But tell us your thoughts prior to that game, when you were by yourself. I mean, you're going to have the game in California. Here you are in the Super Bowl, California boy. Tell us what your thoughts were when you were all alone prior to the game.
You know, it's funny, Claudio, because getting to the Super Bowl, it's always, you know, how you get there. And we beat Dallas in Dallas, which was a big surprise for most people. We were a team with 9-7 record, but we hit, you know, our final stride in the last few weeks of the season. And we were really clicking. And then we went to Tampa. And after the Tampa Bay game, Freddie Dreyer and I walk on the field. He says, Vinny, come out here. So we walk on the field. The stadium had emptied out. And he says, you know, we just made some history on this field. And he said, just take a look around. Just kind of imagine where you're at right now. You'll never forget this time. And so it was really cool because he would take a step back and reflect and go, wow, I guess didn't even realize what had actually happened. We were going to play in a Super Bowl. So leading up to that 2 weeks preparation for a Super Bowl game was quite the time. Again, big games, it's when big players shine. And, you know, we would go stride to stride with Pittsburgh. And we always felt that going into the game, you got to prepare against your opponent. But they were probably one of the greatest team of all time, in my mind. They could do it all with the players they had on their team, the coaches, the 13 Hall of Famers, including the coach, Chuck Knoll. They had it all. But we had perhaps one of the best offensive lines that had ever been assembled. And I played behind, and I was really proud to do that. And then, of course, our defense was a top defense. That's but when sure. you went up against the greatest of all time, you know, great against great, that's what makes the Super Bowl such a fun game to watch. And, you know, went toe-to-toe and battle, play for play. It was a game that went back and forth. In the end, you know, their experience kind of came to the forefront, and they beat us with the big plays that they had to make. And when the chips were down, they made them and we didn't. But it was a great thrill getting a chance to play, you know, in front of 103,000, the second largest crowd in Super Bowl history. And, you know, in the Rose Bowl as a kid growing right. up in Southern California, that was my dream come true. And so I was actually was able to do it. But, you know, there was always that whisper in your ear that somebody was there with you, you know, and it was just like I couldn't did it without it. And I don't know how it happened, but, you know, you stand by your guns and you just let it go. And that's how you prepare each and every week, try to do your best, and hopefully your best will come out on game day. And, you know, more times than not, it will if you prepare. But I just kept thinking prior to that game, this is going to be a great game. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. And, but don't lose any sleep over it because it'll be a good defense, but you know, just give it all you got. All you can do is your best. And that's how things worked out, and it worked out in a good way. But we weren't victorious in that game. But that's a game that we always look back on saying, geez, man, I wish they didn't throw that ball to Jack Lambert, you know?
Right. Well, were your parents able to see your career? Did they?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, my mom and dad. My dad used to come to practices, and he would come to some of the practices during training camp. You know, in those days, we would go six weeks at double days every day, not like right. it is today. And so usually every day after the second practice, he worked as the president of the UAW, United Auto Workers, in Pico Rivera, where the Ford plant was. And maybe some of my leadership qualities came from my dad, because he was a guy that could get along great with people, and he was a people person, and people just loved to respond to him and follow him and take his guidance. And so maybe I took after my dad a little bit, and my mom's strength, because my mom was a pretty strong lady. And so it was, you know, it was God given to me, and I was thankful for that. But yeah, they used to enjoy it, and I used to always have to, you know, in the end, Claudio, when you think about all the people that would critique you, coaches, fans, and the media, the only guy that really, you know, made a difference to me that I really wanted to play good in front of was my dad, you know.
Right.
So, but, you know, because he always was a hard driver and, you know, expected, you know, you do your best and give it all you got. So, but I got critiqued quite a bit of the way. from both my mom and my dad. But it all made me a better player.
For me, my dad came here when he was 8. He was a big boxing fan, you know, loved the Marciano, Graziano, those guys. Mm-hmm. But my mom came here in 63. And she just liked soccer and boxing. But when I got involved in baseball, then she and loved all sports. My mom, again, she was a big fan of yours, but she knew that you went to Nebraska. She knew that you wore Adidas. I mean, she knew more than my dad knew, right? And in my games, my dad never once questioned me or asked me, why did I do this? Or why did I swing at this pitch? Or why did I coach this way? My mom always questioned every damn thing I did, you know? But before every game, I never forget, she said, at the door, she'd say, "Mostro coraggio tuo," show them your courage, show them your courage every mm-hmm. single game. And matter of fact, I'm writing an ebook right now. And it's about coach-player relationship and leadership. And she always used to tell me to speak from the heart up, never the neck up. And
right.
But you know, everything.
She was right. She was right, Claudio. Sure. I mean, that's the Italian way, you know. It all comes from inside, the heart. And if you have heart, that's something you can't coach.
No.
You cannot coach that. And that's what they're saying, basically, is, you know, you have to listen to your coaches, but you play from the heart. And if you do it that way, no one can take you down. So it's really makes a big difference.
But yeah, like you, I did everything to impress my parents, make my parents proud of me. And my mom, unfortunately, she passed. She was 48. She passed when I was 23. She didn't get to see, you know, the pro stuff and the college stuff. But I think she did. I think she did. Or I think she does, I should say. I know she sees what I'm doing. I can't see her expression, but I know what she's thinking. I know what her face looks like whenever I do something, but I know she sees it. My dad passed 16 years ago. He did get to see me do the pro stuff and some other things. And I constantly, you know, try to honor my parents as much as possible with everything that I do. But now you had a 10-year career, a very successful 10-year career. And one of the reasons why I did this show and something that I always admire in athletes is what they did when their career was over. As Chuck Noll used to say, what you did with your life's work. Number one, when you retired in 1986 from the Green Bay Packers, were you worried about your next step? Did you have a game plan? What were your thoughts?
No, I think that I was grateful for every day that I was able to play. I never knew how long I would play. That's just no one really ever knows how long your career will last. But you take it one day at a time, one year at a time, just like you do when you prepare for games, one game at a time. But when I actually retired, when I was released from Buffalo and I got picked up by Green Bay, I knew things were, you know, winding down for me. And so my best years, of course, were played in L.A. when I was younger. And so much of a quarterbacking is being in the right system at the right place in the right time and being able to operate and function using your skills that would be best for the team. And so, you know, when I went to Green Bay, it was maybe the last, the last step in my career. And so when I retired, I thought, well, you know, good chance to come back home. I kept my home in Southern California. And when I came back home, I just got started in the business world. And I just felt that, okay, that career is over. Maybe I could do some, you know, some things, keep familiar. But what the one thing that really, I think, made the transition easier for me is when I gave back. I started my own foundation, the Vince Ferragamo Foundation, and we gave back to Special Olympics. I actually had started that in 1983. I retired in 1986. And my daughter was born, and I remember Vanessa was my oldest daughter. She was born, and she was 1 year old standing on the putting green, and we were doing our golf tournament for the Special Olympics program in Southern California. And so for 30 years, we did this golf tournament. And I think that transition, when you don't put yourself first, you put someone else first, I think it makes everything that much easier for you. And I transitioned from football into charitable giving. And from there, I got involved in the real estate business. And I started doing that locally. And, you know, maybe my name was an attraction, I'm sure, for some people. And just hard work again, you know, learning the field, learning the trade, and getting involved with that. So with the foundation and the real estate, then I got into mortgage lending a little bit. And that's what's kind of carried us, you know, through my second career. And also I do some work with Fox Television here locally in the Southern California market, covering the Rams. Both Jackie Slater and I, who's a Hall of Famer, we do the show, and it's kind of a lot of fun. A lot of people kind of like what we have to say and kind of our opinion on how the season goes for the Rams. So it's kind of a fun show and a lot of fun to do here locally. So I've been blessed being able to, you know, be involved with Fox TV and also covering the Rams. And still what's always been dear to me was the football. I mean, I've always loved sports, and that's always number one. Sports and music and Italian food and family. That's it.
There you go. There you go. A couple more things before we let you go, Vince. Now, you talked about the real estate. You have Ferragamo Real Estate. You're also involved heavily in wine. Tell us about your wine business.
Well, I got started in the wine about 12 years ago. I have a property here in Orange County in East Hills of Orange, and the weather and the climate, the dirt is really good. It wasn't really popular to grow grapes in our area, you know, Northern Cal, Napa and Sonoma, and down south Temecula, and in the Central Coast is all very popular, but Orange County wasn't thought of as to grow grapes. But I lived here and I felt, well, let me try it. We had a little pasture on the side of our property, and I said, I started planting Sangiovese and Cabernet grapes and Tignanello, which is an Antinori wine in the Tuscany region of Italy, is one of my favorite wines, along with the Musetto and some of the other wines that they produce. And so I said, well, let me just try it, you know? So I got rootstock and, you know, I started learning about growing, and I attended the Culinary Institute up in Napa about being in the wines, you know, with an intensive being in Italian wines and then food and wine pairing. So I had a little background and I wanted to start growing my own grapes. So I planted a little vineyard on the side, and, you know, 5 years later, it was producing really good grapes, and we made wine with it. And I take the wine down to Temecula, down to a guy by the name of Mick Dragoo, who has passed away now, but the chateau there, and they make the wine for me, and it's turned out great. And my kids love it. It's become a family favorite. It's a nice Chianti Classico style wine. Sangiovese is 80%, Cabernet is 20%, and they grow really well in Southern California. So we're very, very happy, and, you know, I'm proud to have this wine. And so we put a little website together, VinceFerragamoVineyards.com, and people can look at the wine and take it down and have it rated each year. We've got some gold medals in the last 4 years, so that's been great. So the wine is doing pretty well, and it's a lot of fun. I just love it. A lot of friends that I have enjoy wine, and we love to eat. My wife, as I mentioned, was Sicilian. She's a good cook, great cook. And so we have a lot of wine dinners, and we just enjoy ourselves. That's where we have the most fun at my age today. So, you know, being Italian, you can't live without wine and food.
Right.
So we have to have it.
I'm going to be getting some of your wine here soon, ordering it. But real quick, tell us about your wife and daughters.
Well, my wife, as I mentioned, she's Sicilian, and her dad was a wrestler, actually. And when I was dating Jody, Josephine, and we call her Jody, she was, you know, I mean, she wasn't a cheerleader or anything. I met her at school, and but I always had this thing about her dad. It was a wrestler, so I always had to, you know, be on the lookout, because it would be careful, man. This guy'll break your neck, you know, in a heartbeat. So, but he, you know, he and I got along great. He was Italian and is a great wrestler himself, wrestled with a lot of the greats. And it's funny how our careers kind of carried over. He met so many great wrestlers throughout the country. And when I played football, I went to Buffalo, met Ilu DiPaolo. DiPaolo's were almost like a second family to me back there in Buffalo. And you know, Green Bay, Vern Gagne was in Minnesota, and, you know, Franco, I mean, they everybody was, you know, so it was kind of a marriage that was meant to last. You know, we've been married for 30, oh man, I better say it right, almost 40 years, I guess. So it's been a long time. But my three daughters are great. I have my oldest daughter is a pediatrician at St. Joseph's Hospital here in Orange County. She's bilingual. She's full Spanish and English, and did her understudy in Guadalajara in Mexico. Wow. And I have two grandkids. She has a little boy. His name is Javier Vincent. We call him Javicenzo, and Sofia Francesca, which is a boy and a girl. My middle daughter, Kara, is the most into the wine. She's almost a sommelier, and she really kind of runs the marketing. My youngest daughter, Jenna, was probably the best athlete of everybody. She was a great soccer player, went to Colorado, and she's up in Oregon right now. She's married, and so I have just one that's not married, and that's Kara. She's with us and here in Southern California. So three beautiful daughters, beautiful family. I've been very blessed.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear. Before we get on to our lightning round, what's next for Vince Ferragamo? What are your goals, aspirations? What are you looking to do next?
Well, we're still expanding our real estate business. The Ferragamo Real Estate's taken off and it's doing really well. Of course, a lot of good friends in the business and that are affiliates of mine that work with me in the business. And I have a lot of course, most of them Italian, as you could almost imagine. And I think what's on the horizon is we're expanding our wine lines. I have a good friend, Guy Davis, up in Northern California, who makes beautiful Primitivo and Pinot Nero, and he's made a couple wines that we have. I've named them after all my girls in my life. We make a beautiful rosé sparkling wine named after my wife, Josepina, and a Chardonnay that's made here locally in Southern California is named after my grandmother and my mom, so Anna Stella. So it's an Anna Stella wine, and it's nice. Beautiful Chardonnay with like a Burgundian style. And so we have a nice lineup of wines. Of course, our signature wine is the Caressa J. So we're looking to expand the wine thing, and it's going pretty well. And the girls can kind of eventually run with that, and I think they'll have fun with it.
Good, good. Yeah, like I said, I'm going to order some. I don't think you're allowed to mail to mail the wine to Pennsylvania, so I'm going to have it mailed to Ohio. A friend of mine is going to bring it over to me, but I'm definitely looking forward to getting some for sure.
But, well, Claudio, I think you'll love it. I think if you love your pastas.
Of course,
and whatever pasta you got. I mean, Italians make pastas with anything, and
that's right.
This wine, that Super Tuscan would go with anything that you want to make. It's unbelievable. It's really nice.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting it. But the final thing here is the Eric Jackson Lurie Lightning Round. Call criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call 412-963-9308. Okay, Vince, favorite singer.
Jerry Vail.
Oh, I like Jerry Vail. My daughter gets mad at me whenever I sing any of his songs, but I like him. He's a great singer.
He's playing in my cellar. When you walk in my cellar, I get him on all the time.
All right. I love the song Pretend You Don't See Her. Great lyrics.
Oh, God.
Great lyrics. Yeah. Great lyrics.
Oh, they're all good. I'll be La is another beautiful one. They're all good.
There you go. Favorite dish, homemade or restaurant?
Oh man, I have to say the ravioli. My mom I still remember. And as you mentioned, you can still see the face of your mom and your dad. I can see it right there. That ravioli. I tried to make the ravioli. I still can't make it like my mom used to.
Right.
But that's one of my favorite dishes. The cheese, even just cheese ravioli. It's all with a nice red sauce, pasta sauce.
There you go. Favorite athlete ever.
Whoa, man. Shoot. Gosh. Ugh. Favorite athlete ever.
Billy Waddy, because he caught the pass, right?
Billy Waddy came up those big plays, man. Oh, wow. Favorite athlete. Man, there's so many great ones. I mean, I love all those guys. Shoot, if I say one, I'm going to forget the next guy. Yeah, I'll say Joe Scarpello. How's that? Yeah, Joe Scarpello. Yeah, that's a good one. It's a great one.
You have a business role model.
A business role model. Well, you know, the role model, I guess the head of Chrysler was
Lee Iacocca.
Lee Iacocca was, and I met Lee once. I think a business role model probably would be Frank Mancuso. I really have a lot of respect for Frank. Frank was the chairman of the board for Paramount Pictures, which did The Godfather. And Frank is a friend of mine now. And but his experience and his business sense is superbly. I mean, it's superb. It's great. And so sometimes I'll ask him for advice, and he really gives me some good advice. But I would have to say him.
Favorite book?
I'm not much of a reader.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I don't know. It'd probably have to be an Italian cookbook, I guess. I don't know.
There you go. All right. Last thing, your favorite quote or something that a quote that you live by. I know Mario Andretti's was, if you have everything under control, you're not going fast enough. That rings a bell. Jerry Cooney, who I've interviewed, said, I'm always trying to do the next right thing. Dan Marino says, you can do more, you can always do more. What is your favorite quote?
You know, one quote that really never left my mind was my brother had taught us at high school is enthusiasm is the force that creates momentum.
Wow, I like
enthusiasm is the force that creates momentum. And if you're enthusiastic, everything kind of goes just right along. And so I would have to say that quote. That's always stuck with me for all my years.
All right, I like that. You know what? There is one more thing I have to ask you. We've all had to overcome obstacles in our life, be it personal, business, financial, whatever. We all have to overcome things. What advice, and now obviously with the coronavirus and people are struggling right now, what is your advice to people who have to and need to overcome things in life, Vince?
I think that, you know, you're never going to be perfect. And there's always going to be things that don't go right during your life. And no one said it was going to be easy. And things didn't always have to be, appear really bright and rosy, because it was really never really meant to be that way. So I think you have to make the best of every situation. Don't look to the past, look to the future, because the present is where you want to be, and you want to move forward. You want to look to the future. So I always think of things being, you know, the glass being half full instead of half empty, and always look for the bright side of things. But remember too, that, you know, whatever decisions are made, don't think that you can go out on your own and stray from what's proper and what's correct to do. I mean, if there is implications, or there's things that are in place for you to do, make sure you follow the guideline and do it and do the best you can. Don't venture off and think you can do something on your own. I mean, you can, but you have to kind of, play it step at a time and follow the rules. I mean, most people think they can go ahead and create their own rules. So, you know, you have to recreate the rules. The rules are created for everyone to have some kind of substance and some kind of, so that everyone can get through life and to move forward. So, I mean, rules are in place for a reason. So follow the rules. And I think most people have to kind of follow the rules, even though they feel that there's something else that can be done.
Vince, I first of all, I thank you so much for taking the time out to be on the show. And again, I cannot tell you what a thrill it is for me to talk to you, to have you on the show. I mean, who the hell thought when I saw you back in 76, I guess it was the Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl when I saw you for the first time, that was at 44 years later, you'd be on my show. And again, I can go on and on of the impact that you've, because I watch all your interviews. I've read a lot of your interviews, and you've had so much impact in my life. And Jim Valvano used to say his favorite word in English dictionary was the word impact. And you've had so much in my life, and you will continue to. And I can't thank you enough for the impact you've had on my life, both on the field and off, and as a husband, as a father, and business and in sports. And again, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Claudio. Stay in touch, and God bless you and your family.
You too, Vince. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone. That was Vince Ferragamo. I was really, really looking forward to doing that, and he was great, and it was a big thrill for me, for sure. As always, you can check out the show on ClaudioRalsano.com, Spreaker.com/user/ESPEN blog. You can subscribe to the show. As always, thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions. Adam Zaluf, my fantastic producer, couldn't do the show without Adam. And my sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. They are open for deliveries and pickup. And, of course, call criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel at 412-963-9308. Continue to send the great emails. We have more great guests coming, as I always say, and they're always great guests. You can check out the show again on ClaudioRalsano.com. Subscribe to the show. And, as always, thank you, Mom Ida Relsano and Pop Olindo Relsano. Stay safe, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRalsano.com.
Spring is here, and so are spring allergies. Are you experiencing headaches, fatigue, nasal congestion, itchy watery eyes, ear pressure, or vertigo? You may have spring and summer allergies. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois. We'll diagnose, treat, and get you feeling better. Allergy therapy could help eliminate these symptoms and avoid the hassles of daily medications, as well as the side effects that go along with them. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center.
Modern solutions with the care you've been looking for. Call Dr. Roscoe's office today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at aspirepediatrictherapy.com. We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.